You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, welcome back to the last episode of Vortex Week right here on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I am your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are talking with Maggie. Now, Maggie works in the marketing department over there at Vortex. She actually does a lot of social media type things, whatever those things are, coming up with the posts and working on the brand and things like that over there at Vortex. And most of the people that I talk with at Vortex are hardcore hunters. And although Maggie does like to hunt, she is a hardcore fisherwoman, whatever the case is. And that's her passion. And so we do a little bit of a hunter profile with Maggie today. We talk about growing up as kind of a tomboy. We talk about getting into the outdoors. We talk about trying to get into fishing tournaments, what it's like to be a girl. And we talk a little bit about something that I actually really respect with Maggie. And there's a handful of other girls out there, women that do this very well. There's a group of girls out there that they go out and they like to showcase their skin instead of their skill. And Maggie, she showcases her skill. And I really like that, especially when I have a daughter and I am looking for role models for my daughter. And I look at someone like Maggie and I'm like, dude, this chick could be a role model for my daughter. And I that's awesome. Plus she's got a badass sense of humor. She's cool. And it's a really good interview. So basically, this is the last episode of Vortex Week. I want to send a shout out to Vortex because I feel like we've built a really good relationship with that brand. Like this partnership that we work out where I promote their brand, they pay me, that, you know, they give me what I need. I give them what they need, and it's just this awesome handshake. I've also got to know, you know, I've met some extremely awesome people from that company, and you know, we're borderline friends at this point. So a lot of our communication is done remotely, but with that said, again, I've built some awesome relationships with some of these employees over there at Vortex. It's an awesome brand, and that's why we do this Vortex Week every year, because I just feel a brand like Vortex needs to be known about just the way they treat their customers and the way they treat people. And that is the meat and potatoes of life, if that makes sense. So awesome people make awesome brands, and that's what Vortex has. So before we get into today's episode, I do want to send a huge shout out to all of the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles. If you're looking for a saddle, go check out Tethered. They have saddles, saddle hunting accessories. If you want some of the best broadheads in the game, go to wasparchery.com. They have mechanicals and fixed blade broadheads. Majority of their heads are made in the USA, so that is a big win. Wasparchery.com, discount code NFC20. We have Code Blue Scents, real synthetic deer urine. We have scent elimination products. My favorite product that they make is the Rope-A-Dope Mock Scrape Kit. So go to CodeBlueScents.com, discount code NFC20. Huntworth, go to huntworthgear.com and check out their full lineup of camo clothing. They have multiple camo patterns. They have a layer for just about any scenario. So go check out huntworthgear.com. Reveal trail cameras. You scan a QR code. You put batteries in the camera. Not in that order, obviously. Put batteries in the camera, download the app, scan the QR code. In literal minutes, you can have a cell camera set up and sending pictures to your phone. And so you need to go to tacticam.com/cameras and learn about the new 3.0 versions of that camera. Of course, full sneak here. FullSneakGear.com, my company. Man, I just make some badass t-shirts for guys who love the outdoors. I have a couple hats. I got a sweatshirt. Most of my products are t-shirts. Nothing crazy. They're fun. And if you're a serious outdoorsman, then you're going to like FullSneakGear.com. And then lastly, Vortex. I don't need to say too much because this entire week has been dedicated to them. So enjoy this episode. I got 30 minutes with Maggie. Good vibes in, good vibes out. And we will talk to you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Mm-hmm. Wow.
We have some turbulence ahead.
I suppose I should spit my zin out for this.
I think it'd be more authentic if you left it in. We good? All right. This is another episode of Vortex Week, all right? Ooh. So I've already talked with Ryan and Mark. I've talked with Eric and Graham. And I've never had you on before. And so you're an outdoors person. Is it outdoors lady or outdoors men? And then it's just generalized. How do we?
You know, I kind of get them all, and I'm not offended by any of them.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You're an outdoors. I'll just say it's outdoorsman.
Yeah.
As well. Okay.
I cool. like that.
All right, cool. And so this podcast is special because we're in a rush today.
Yeah.
All right. So we're in between meetings yep. today. And so this is going to be fast paced. Mm-hmm. And I have to know everything about you in 30 minutes.
It should only take about 5.
So you're not that cool?
No.
Okay.
No.
So the reason that I wanted you on today is because, you know, there's a different perspective being a female in the outdoors, mm-hmm. especially in fishing. And that's why I really wanted to talk to you about kind of your journey into where you're at today. And I want to go all the way back okay. to the beginning. What year were you born?
1995.
95. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. 95. What was I doing in 95? Like, I was learning how to drive in 1995.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have any brothers or sisters?
Two sisters. No brothers.
Okay.
My poor dad. Right.
But this is even better. My neighbor across the street from me has 4 daughters.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
And so he's a huge fan of wrestling, and so he has brought his daughters into wrestling. So what? Knowing that you don't have any brothers, mm-hmm. does your dad? Were you the girl that he picked to be the outdoors person? Like, do your other sisters, were they given the same opportunity to enjoy the outdoors? Or were you like handpicked?
So I'm the youngest.
Okay.
So everyone does joke, I'm my dad's boy, and yeah. I was his last chance at a boy, and he didn't get it. But the one thing that I really appreciate and respect about my dad is never once was it pushed on me,
yeah.
ever. Like, yeah. truly never. He just gave us the opportunities. If we wanted to go, he would, and I always wanted to go.
Yeah,
I wanted to go along with him doing everything. We hunted, we fished. This is weird, but I was my dad's buddy. I wanted to do everything mm-hmm. with my dad. He could get me to like drink my milk, eat my vegetables by saying it would put hair on my chest. Like I'd be like, okay. You know, I was just a little tomboy. I loved yeah. tagging along, hunting, fishing, doing it all. My sisters had the same opportunities, zero interest. My oldest sister went hunting with him once, shot a doe, cried and cried, sobbed. That was the last time she ever went. So yeah. they had the opportunities. He never pushed it upon us. And I just loved it. I loved it.
And so that's kind of the foundation of, and that's the whole point of that is to get to where you are today. And so you just, was it more about spending time with your dad or was it more about, I just love going and doing outdoorsy type things?
If we're being honest, when I was really little,
yeah,
I went because he bought the best snacks.
Okay.
At Hunte.
So he bribed you?
No, I was just like, I know he's got those mini Snickers. I know he's got that. So I'm going. And then I just loved it. It's spending time with him. He's really, it sounds cheesy, but he's like my best friend. He's the yeah. best guy I know. He's incredible. So
yeah.
spending time with him and then just learning. And then once you finally get your little first taste of success and
yeah.
I was just eating up with it.
Yeah. yeah. It's crazy because I have buddies who have daughters and sons. And I'm always thinking about if somehow I'm subconsciously giving my sons more opportunities than my mm-hmm. daughters, just because it's they're girls, mm-hmm. right? And so I've really tried hard as a father to make sure that I'm giving my daughter equal opportunity at some of these things, asking her if she wants to go. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. But I think I've gotten lucky and mm-hmm. I feel like I've done the right thing with her, and she's now really excited about fishing and hunting.
That's
as well.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love that. And I'm not trying to tell anyone how to parent, but you know, I do a lot of stuff on social media, and mm-hmm. seeing fathers take daughters out and including them in that stuff truly warms my heart. And I always go out of my way to comment, like, please don't stop, like, take her along, teach her, just because that's, you know, that's how I grew up, and it just means so much. And those are my favorite memories from my childhood too.
Yeah. So did you ever do, like, are you from Wisconsin?
I am. Okay. Yep, born and raised.
So did you ever do like a deer camp type vibe, or were you ever left out of it? Because, you know, traditionally deer camps is like, okay, it's time for the men and the mm-hmm. boys to go do something. You leave the women and children at home. Mm-hmm. Like, were you in that tradition at all?
Or
were
yeah.
you, yeah.
Yeah. I got lucky. My dad has a really good group of friends that we'd always go up and to deer camp. They had a big cabin, so there's plenty of room for all of us. The women usually always came. Did all of them go out and hunt? Not necessarily, but you know, they would all hang out and have fun. But mm-hmm. if you wanted to go, you were more than welcome. And growing up, I always sat with my dad. I never sat alone. So I would just tag along with him. And of course, if something came out, he'd let me shoot it, but he'd also prefer for me to, you know, he loved that, and seeing my success, but no, I was lucky. If anything, as I'm older, I don't get invited anymore now, but when you're a kid, it's fine. But, I get left out of boys' trips now here and there, but
yeah, I mean, but it's cool because it seems like, and this is obviously just a perception from social media and knowing you the very small amount that I do, mm-hmm. that you still have plenty of opportunities right now to go and do whatever it is that you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's how, like, if you are a woman in this space, I'd like to say it shouldn't matter, but it does.
Yeah.
I think if you're respectful and carry yourself respectfully, it's not as big of an issue. And sometimes it can be harder logistically. Say, we're going on a hunt in the backcountry and we're staying in tents. Like, mm-hmm. someone's wife might be like, oh, that's kind of weird. But, you know, when there's situations where you can have your own hotel room or own room in a cabin, maybe even.
Yeah.
But just being respectful and just making everyone feel comfortable. I wish it wasn't an issue, but we're humans. You know,
exactly.
It can be.
Yeah.
And that's just the cards we're dealt, right?
But, right. And, okay, so this is something, you know, you are one of the social media people here at Vortex, mm-hmm. right? And social media and women, there's like a fine line where, how do I put this respectfully? Like, there's the women who are blatantly showing skin,
mm-hmm.
and that type of taking that route to get noticed. You're not taking that route, which is extremely admirable from the father of a daughter, as well as there's another gal in your space. She is the kayak fisher, Midwest fishing gal. Mm-hmm. Is that her?
Christine Fisher. Yeah.
Yes. And so another person that I don't follow a ton of fishing people, but that is hugely admirable mm-hmm. to me, where you're showcasing your skill and not any other assets that a woman may have, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that's impressive to
yeah,
me, to get to where you've been.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. And I women are such a small portion of this industry that we're in and that we love and enjoy it. They're growing exponentially.
Yeah.
And I so badly want to support all of them and lift them all up. So I don't want to give a hard time to a woman that takes that approach. I mean, we see that it works,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But I guess that's just not the reason I want to be successful. I want, you know, me, myself as a person, my skill sets, my hard work, I want that to show and have followers because of that and not because I'm showing a lot of skin or
Is there
or
pressure? Is there pressure?
I will say I had a harder time with it when I was getting started. You get the comment like, show some more skin, you'd have more followers or whatever.
That's a douchebag move, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Who says that?
Yeah, I'd love to see the guy who's commenting that stuff. But
just a monster behind a keyboard.
Yeah. But I will say it just takes a little work, patience, having some thick skin,
yeah.
You know, brushing it off. And I feel like I've kind of gotten to a place, I have a long way to go, but I've gotten to a place where I'm comfortable with where I'm at and I have kind of like earned that respect. I really don't get a lot of that stuff anymore. I think people know she would have shown skin by now if she was going to, you know, that's not what I'm about. But I will say too, the thing that frustrates me a little bit is I'm usually tournament fishing, right? I have a sun shirt on, pants, shorts, whatever. But if I'm out on like the 4th of July having fun, I'm probably still fishing but like I want to get my tan on. And if I catch a fish, like I think I should be able to just, you know, have my swimsuit top on and a pair of shorts, but then it's like, oh no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a fine line to walk.
Yeah.
Or maybe I usually just throw my shirt on if I'm going to take the picture. Right?
It's such a different dynamic that women have in this space than men do, because there's been such over the years, it's such a male dominated industry. Mm-hmm. Like even my demographic on social media is 97% men who follow me. And then I'm guessing the 3% of women who follow me are probably, some of them are men following through their wives' accounts, wives or girlfriends' accounts. You know what I mean?
Or their burner accounts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Their catfishing accounts.
Yeah. And so this industry has always been kind of okay, pat them on the head, you know, take them along with you, but they don't, there's never been, it's always been the women are a sidekick to the male figure in the industry. And so it's really cool to see some of these ladies popping up in this space who are truly independent. And that is, to me, those are the type of people that I want to showcase their content to my daughter, right? You don't have to, because I'll tell you right now, I'm going to raise my daughter to be able to go put up a climbing tree stand or a hang on stand by herself in the woods. And I'll teach her how to do that. If she wants to do it, fine. If she doesn't, fine. But she's going to know that she's going to know how to do these things. I'm not going to coddle her like I would, I don't know, like some people may coddle their daughters.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I always say if I could go back and give little Maggie, young Maggie advice, it would be to learn that independence and just learning how to do things on your own sooner. Because I feel like I'd be a lot farther than I am now. I grew up with the best dad, but he often just did a lot of that stuff for me and I would tag along. So, you know, a goal of mine is to like be in my own boat someday or I'm trying to take baby steps with like the kayak or running my boyfriend's boat more often. But I wish I was doing that stuff on my own. So just teaching them, you know, maybe, if dad's with you, you're not going to have to do it. But if I'm not, you're going to know how.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest advice I could give anyone is just teaching them how to do it on their own.
Absolutely. So when you were younger and you were palling around with your dad, was there more emphasis on the hunting side of it or the fishing side of it?
Ooh, good question. Almost kind of even, I guess I would say, because really the only hunting I did growing up was our Wisconsin, like, week or so long gun deer season.
Yeah.
That was, like, my 1 week of hunting a year. I loved it, but, you know, 1 week out of the year isn't much. And then fishing-wise, we...
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba,
Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
Just had a little fishing boat and we would just throw bobbers for, you know, bluegill, crappies, yeah, perch, whatever. So I don't know, it was kind of an even balance. I really kind of took off doing more after I went to college and kind of started doing more stuff on my own.
Yeah.
But even,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit of both.
So is there a preference then? Because it seems like you've taken the fishing route. And then, so for me, it's all whitetail. Mm-hmm. And then everything that happens extra doesn't get the time, but I still do a little bit of fishing and I still do a little bit of turkey hunting, but I'm hyper focused on whitetails. Are you hyper focused on anything and then sprinkle in the rest?
I wish I was less into everything because I would have a lot more time and a lot more money. I love, like, I really think I just love being outdoors,
yeah,
and I love all of it, but like my hyper focus and my like drug is bass fishing.
Yeah.
That's my thing. But yeah, I'm in Wisconsin. I love bow hunting. I love turkey hunting. I love ice fishing.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I'm picking one, it's going to be bass,
right,
fishing, I'd say.
And so the direction I'm taking here is you're in tournaments, right?
Yeah.
Are you officially in, like, I don't know, are you a member of the Bassmasters or
life member, baby?
Life member. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just by going here, I can tell that you're focused and you're entering in competitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so, out of curiosity, can a person just say, hey, listen, I'm going to go enter in the biggest Bassmaster tournament that there is, or do you have to go into, like, I got to win a local tournament, then I have to win a regional tournament, then in order to get to the big show?
Yeah, so the big show you have to qualify for. If we're talking Bassmaster specific, that would be the Bassmaster Elites, is
okay,
that circuit. And then the top 50 of those guys go to the Bassmaster Classic, which is one tournament a year. It's like the Super Bowl,
yep,
of bass fishing, right?
Yep.
But you can qualify for the Elites by fishing the Bassmaster Opens,
mm-hmm,
which I actually fished last year as a co-angler.
What's that mean? What's the difference between an angler and a co-angler?
There's pros and then co-anglers. So the pro is the guy that hauls their boat there. He's running the boat, driving the boat. And then the co-angler kind of hops in and rides along with. So I don't have my own boat. So if I, yep, want to compete at that level, that's really my only option at the moment.
Yeah.
It is an incredible learning experience though, because you get to hop into however many different people's boats and learn from them, their different fishing styles, whatnot. But you're not fishing as a team, but you're also not fishing against each other, if that makes sense. You're both just fishing for yourself. He's on the front deck, he or she. There's some gals competing,
yeah,
as boaters too. And I'm fishing on the back of the boat against the other co-anglers, whereas,
okay,
he's only fishing against the other pros.
Okay. So it's two people on the boat, two different divisions in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what's your goal with this whole thing? Is to eventually be like a female angler in the Bassmaster Classic? I mean, what steps do you have to take to get into becoming big time Bassmaster tournament fisher?
Yeah. I mean, I would love, like, don't, sure, that's a goal. I don't think it's super realistic for me. I think I got too late of a start on it. But if anything, my goal with this social media stuff is to help the younger girls that are coming up that are on their high school, college fishing teams continue and stay with it. And I hope one of them are on that Bassmaster Classic stage someday. It would be incredible.
Yeah.
My short-term goal is I do want to get into my own boat, start running my own boat, competing at that higher level. If I qualified for the Elites or for the Classic, that would be,
yeah,
insane, but I'd still feel happy just being out there and competing and not making it that far. But, my goal, I want to compete from the front of the boat, compete in bigger tournaments. Maybe that's the Opens.
Okay.
But yeah, as of right now, I do a lot of team tournaments and then some kayak tournaments too, which is an incredible avenue too if you don't have 100-some K to spend on a bass boat. There's some really competitive Bassmaster circuits and whatnot for kayak anglers as well.
Okay, so this is where it gets confusing to me. Do you have to have a bat, like a Ranger $100,000 bass boat to compete in these? Because I've caught some big fish out of the Mississippi River in a jumbo.
Right.
That's probably, you know, under 10 grand.
Right. If anybody from Bassmaster is listening, sorry if I get this wrong, but it's not like it's a dollar amount that your boat has to be. But there are specifications like, well, first of all, in your insurance coverage, you have to have certain limits to compete on your boat. Your boat can't be overpowered, but I do think your motor has to be a certain amount of horsepower, but like it can't be overpowered for the hull that you're in, if okay. that makes
yep.
sense.
Yep.
And then you need to have working live wells to keep the fish alive all right. day too.
Okay.
I really think that covers most of it. And they have other safety stuff, like you need to have this in your boat. And that,
yeah.
You know, of course.
But that's a regulation for boating in general, right?
Correct, yeah.
But this seems to be, this is a weird for me, because I would assume that someone like yourself could have a boat, and you know, obviously I don't know your financials, but mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the live well situation, mm-hmm. but what I don't understand is why there's limitations on the boat. Like there's specific boating when, like the sport of fishing, people catch, I don't know, like, I'll tell you what, man, my father-in-law has taken me out on a pretty standard boat, mm-hmm. and we've caught limits of bass that he's, you know, he's like, dude, this, what we have today would have put us in the top five in this tournament or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, if we were in it. And I'm like, that's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. But then hearing, I don't know why, I'm just curious why there would be restrictions on a boat.
I'm not the best person to ask about it, but from my understanding, I really think it all just comes down to safety and okay. like overpowering a boat so that it's going too fast, safety issue, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times you can't get insurance on a boat if it's overpowered, so safety yeah. issue. I mean, I've fished with guys whose boats are falling apart. Like, they don't care. They don't care about that. It doesn't yeah. need to be shiny, pretty, like you could fish out of a walleye boat. I don't know if you could get away with a John. Like local tournaments around here, guys fish out yeah. of John boats. If you're going up to that level, I'm not sure if that's yeah. okay.
And maybe it's a marketing thing too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And so if you get a boat and you're like, are you in the position where you're kind of relying on maybe a marketing deal to help you afford a boat, or are you looking to buy a boat on your own and take that step? Or are you looking, because whether you're in NASCAR or you're in tournament fishing, you can't, like a lot of these guys, they're not spending their own money to go do this,
mm-hmm.
right? They're relying on sponsorships and, mm-hmm. you know, marketing dollars to help fund that and pay for those entry fees. Is that a route that you're trying to go down?
Yes. Really, the biggest thing holding me back right now is my living situation. I live somewhere where there are already two bass boats and we have nowhere for a third.
Okay.
So, and I mean, I fish, my boyfriend has one. He calls it our boat. I mean, it's yeah. his boat. But, so it's like we have one. And I think my plan for this summer is to spend more time behind the wheel and just getting more comfortable and confident, because what held me back from hopping into one last year is I was going to compete in the Opens. It's not only me on the line then, it's also my co-angler. And I just felt like I wasn't ready to be responsible for them and their experience and their
yeah.
their safety, which I'm sure I would be fine. But yeah. I wanted to be more comfortable and confident behind the wheel before taking that step. And I would like my own house where I can store my boat in the yeah. garage safely, rig in there and what, not have to get a storage unit across town, also be paying for that now,
yeah.
things like that. I know it sounds silly, but it's just that logistical stuff that you have to figure out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, shit's not free.
No, but I do, as far as sponsorships go, I mean, it would be incredible. Like I said, bass boats are so expensive, but there is value in just owning a boat and not owing anyone anything when, mm-hmm. you know, in your content, yep. there is value in that.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a sponsorship deal would be incredible.
Yeah.
But I can see why people go towards the route of like, I'd rather just run what I want and not do it because this, you know, this boat maker offered me the biggest paycheck or,
yeah,
you know.
Do you have any, obviously bass fishing is your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any bass fishing goals that you're trying to accomplish within the next year?
Tournament wise, or can they just be anything?
Anything that has to do with bass fishing.
So I'm hoping I can make this happen next week. We're going down to Texas, and I've never broke a double-digit largemouth.
Never had a 10-pounder.
Never had a 10-pounder. We're going down to Texas, and we should be hitting it pretty damn good. So
you're thinking you're going to get a hold of a 10-pounder?
I don't know, but like that's my goal.
Okay.
That's so, my goal.
Well, first off, are you going to a place that has 10-pounders?
I think it's possible. We're going to Lake Fork. It's incredibly possible. It's just if I can find them or not. And then my other goal, I live in Wisconsin. I love smallmouth, right?
Yep. Oh, dude.
I've never broke 6 pounds yet for a smallmouth. I won big bass at one of the bigger tournaments I've ever fished with a 5.98. And I had a goal for like years already at that point to break 6 pounds. And I thought that one was going to do it.
I don't even want to start talking about smallmouth because it is hands down my favorite fish to catch. Oh. I call them the bicep of the Mississippi because they fight so hard and they're so aggressive. Like here's one of my perfect mornings. Like if I could envision a perfect morning, sun's coming up, drinking a little coffee, get on the boat, hit the, like on the Mississippi River, they have the front ends of the islands where the current hits the front end of the island and it goes up on shore. A lot of the bait fish are on these mud flats, top water, boom, here comes the smallies.
Top water, smallmouth.
Oh, dude.
Oh,
it fires me up when I
think
about it.
They are so aggressive. And I mean, at least for us around here, I don't know about like saltwater fish or whatever, but pound for pound, those fish are just balls of muscle and they fight. And God, and when you get in clear water too, and you can just watch them fighting and digging and
it's cool. It's cool. Like you pull them up. They almost like, if it's a big enough one, they look like a football.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, dude,
and they're just beautiful. Their markings. Like I always call it their paint job, but like those like bars and they're just, I love smallmouth.
That hands down my favorite fish to catch.
Yeah.
And then so catch a 10-pounder in Texas. Anything else? Any other fishing goals for 25?
I mean, these are going to sound wimpy, but a lot of them are just like growing and learning. Like I want to spend a lot more time in my kayak this year, fish more tournaments. It's a small league that I do, but we have like a Monday night weekly league here in Madison, and I fished it the past few years, and I didn't fish any of them last year, so just like making myself do those. Just because I'm not, you know, it's out of my comfort zone, but I learn a lot when I go and pick apart the water in a kayak, and you can't cover as much water in a kayak. So like you have to pick apart that area that you're in and figure something out. And I just, I really feel like I learned so much. So do more kayak stuff, spend more time behind the wheel of our boat, get more comfortable and confident, and hopefully end up in my own pretty soon.
Okay. So explain to me what your perfect day on the water consists of. Like if you were to close your eyes right now and envision your perfect day, what are you doing? What species are you going? Like, break it down for me.
Okay. It's, let's say June.
June. Okay.
I think I want to say June. June. Beautiful day. Warm, still morning, water still. We're in Sturgeon Bay.
Okay.
We make a run out. The water's flat, calm, clear. There's rocks, boulders, gravel. Sun's shining. I'm getting my tan on.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I have a coffee, which is usually a no-no for me on the boat because I'm going to have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But that doesn't exist in my scenario. Yeah. It's a perfect day.
Yeah. There's no live well action. Yeah. There's no hanging the butt off the side. No. Okay. Perfect scenario.
It's a perfect scenario. And they are just munching on everything. Yeah, maybe a little top water, smallmouth action, maybe some hair jig action. Oh, I don't know. Just that clear water and just with like the rocks. And that's like perfect. I love being able to watch them. Like when you can sight, and I'm not even talking on beds, but when you can sight fish smallmouth, I had that this past summer where you were just like, you'd see them and you just fan cast whatever you're using, like your little swim bait or a hair jig, and you just know where to cast. It's so fun. Yeah, smallmouth. Just a perfect, calm, warm smallmouth day is my perfect day.
Okay. Smallmouth though.
Yeah. I don't know. Like largemouth on a frog though. I don't know.
That's there's something special about topwater and like lily pads or something like that.
Yeah, and they just
hammer it. Yeah. So I was talking to you about this place, special place where it's easy for my kids, my father-in-law knows about it. So, like I think a lot of people know about it, but they may not know how to fish it properly. Yeah. And so my father-in-law has always found this way to crankbait for walleye, and it's like there's this roadbed. The current hits it with a south wind. So the current is going one direction. The wind's going another direction. And you throw over top of the rocks. There's a big, there's like a drop down, 4 foot drop down. And so your crankbait starts diving right when you hit that. Mm-hmm. And the walleye will come up every once in a while. A smallmouth will be in there, maybe a striper. And you just sit there. It's a lot of casting. Mm-hmm. But maybe you get a couple walleye and they're worth keeping. Then you go to a sandbar and you do a shore lunch.
Oof.
Dude, have you ever done that before?
Yeah, I have.
Isn't that awesome?
I went for like a week-long trip to the Boundary Waters, mm-hmm. and that's like how we survived.
Catching like shore fish.
Yeah. Oh, and it was something special.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Are you going to be in, or do you have any goals this year or plans to participate in any additional tournaments, like bigger tournaments?
Oh, man, I probably have at least over 30 tournaments on my schedule for this summer already.
So how do you do that? How do you keep a job and go and try to be a tournament fisherman?
So that's when you want to start competing at those higher levels, that's when it gets really hard. Because last year for those opens, say I wanted to fish all of them, that's like 9 weeks of PTO.
Yeah.
I mean, you need the week because you have to get there, you know, travel, pre-fish. It's tough. And who has 9 weeks of PTO, right? Unless maybe you own your own business or, mm-hmm. or something. But thankfully, a lot of the stuff I do and what I got hooked on tournament fishing doing is local derbies, which are generally on the weekends. There's those weeknight leagues, but usually take offs at like 5 or 6 p.m. So you can make that work too. But yeah, pretty much my family and friends know that they can ask if I have a free weekend in the summer, but I probably don't.
Yeah. So, okay, the next thing I want to talk to you about is your view on this whole LiveScope thing, okay?
Oh, boy, you're going to get me canceled.
This is a hot topic. I'm not trying.
Yeah.
But you hear these stories about these guys who are very, very good bass fishermen. They're established. They, you know, they've gone through the rigors of, you know, winning championships before this type of technology came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, here comes LiveScope.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it does is you don't necessarily need to know the water as much and what's underneath of the water as much, because you have something that's, it's like the cell camera. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like cell cameras.
Very similar to that debate, yeah.
And so some random dude, like if I am in no way, shape, or form a good fisherman, right? I pretty much rely on my father-in-law to put me on a place and cast, right?
Yeah.
And so, but a guy could easily learn how to start using this LiveScope technology, and then you've already heard stories of guys coming into tournaments brand new to the sport and are starting to do very well because they know how to use this technology,
mm-hmm.
okay? So there are some tournaments that are okay with LiveScopes, and there's some tournaments that they've banned it, that mm-hmm. type of technology. What's the thought within this community? Like, where are people lying? Is this a great equalizer, or is this something that needs to be left to just like regular fun weekend fishing?
There is not a general like consensus. It is very split. There's a lot of drama in the bass world right now, and that is a big part of it.
Yeah.
People are incredibly split. I will say I don't want to give like a firm opinion on it because I've said multiple times, I haven't spent a lot of time in the front of the boat. I'm not usually the one running that. The reason I would be against it, and the reason a lot of people are, is they worry that it's an unfair advantage. Like, we're going to see this affecting mm-hmm. like fish populations, like especially people who are like catching cooking, right? So like crappies and whatnot. If we see a decrease in that, then I kind of agree. Like, whoa, let's slow down. But the people I really see complaining about it are the older guys mm-hmm. in the space, who these young kids are coming, who are, you know, accepting this technology and using it to their advantage. And these guys aren't willing to change or learn that new technology. But meanwhile, Rick Klun, who's a fantastic fisherman, he's been doing it for years and years mm-hmm. and years, one of the oldest guys doing it right now. I mean, he had one of those young guys take him out for a day on the water, and he learned and he taught him. And I think that's really cool, like accepting and learning this new technology. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I just, another thing that I think is really neat about LiveScope is we're learning a lot about fish that we never knew before.
Yeah.
Like you think, oh, it's spring, you know, they're all pushed up shallow. Like that's where we're going to find them. We're finding out that that's not necessarily true. Like a lot of them are staying out there, you know, suspended or, yeah, or whatnot. So it's teaching people a lot. I don't know. I don't know my stance on it. I don't know if I want to give a solid stance. It hasn't been out around that long yet, right? Like I feel like I need to see more with what happens, and it's interesting seeing what these tournament circuits are doing. I've heard people pitch ideas of like you can use it for an hour of the day, and you have to pick like choose wisely, or you can use it for the first half or this half or what. Can't use it at all. You can always use it. I don't know. It's interesting. I need to spend more time with it. Really, the only time I use it is for ice fishing. And I mean, it sure helps you find crappies in a basin suspended.
This summer was my first time ever using electronics for ice fishing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a brand new piece. It was like from the early 90s that my father-in-law bought. You drop it down and you see, you can jig, you know, you jig your jig up and down, and you can then see the fish kind of coming up to meet it, and then you got a bite, right? Yep. And so to me, I was just like, holy cow, this, you don't even need to know. You drill the hole, drop it down, oh, nothing here.
Right.
Go drill another hole and so forth and so on until you find them. And then it's, and in a way, it's, and I liked it because I was with my kids.
Yeah.
Right? And so it became, there was no learning curve, really. They were catching fish, and that's what was
fun. When they're having fun, it's visual for them.
Exactly.
It's like they're playing a video game.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But when now, like for deer hunting, there's not really ever any deer hunting competitions where money's on the line. Sometimes there is. And so, but when you have this piece of technology that could impact the outcome of tournaments, right, where sponsor dollars, right, and then like just a random guy can come in and potentially win it, that's intriguing for me on some of that, and whether or not it's too good of technology or what the case is. And my father-in-law is that old school guy who's like, oh, this needs to be banned and blah blah blah, because he's been catching fish for 50 years on the Mississippi without any of that stuff,
right?
And so I don't know, it just is one of those things where it's another example of tech, not like new technology changing the culture of like whether it's fishing or the outdoors.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, like I know some random guy can come in and do really well and win it, but it's available to everyone.
Everybody. Yeah.
He's the one that chose to put in the time and learn it and get good at it. It's any of them can use it. They all have electronic sponsors. I know they could get one, you know, they probably all have one. It's just whether they have really figured out how to use it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. But. Well, 30 minutes with Maggie is up. You got to get to your next
hot takes. Hot I'm takes. Sweating after that one. No comment.
30 minutes with Maggie. Man, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for hopping on and BSing with us. And we got to get, next time I'm here, we got to do another one so I can dig in a little deeper.
Okay. Yeah, a little tournament update. Let you know how
tournament
the
update.
Went
and- talk about, like, we didn't talk about turkey that much. We didn't talk about, hunting that much.
No. What if we do the next one live from the bass boat?
Ooh, that would be awesome. I would be game for that.
All right.
I'm game for that.
All right.
I might have to bring a kid with me because my boy would be jealous.
Yeah.
My boy got like 24 crankbaits for Christmas.
Oh.
And he has laid them out, taken them out, put them, he has he has the tote bag, a tackle box that has the plastic inserts that go inside of them. And he takes them out. He organizes. Dad, is this a deep runner or shallow? I'm like, that's 6 to 7 feet. That's where you want it. So he has them all organized now. Then he takes them all out and he reorganizes them. And he's pacing because he's waiting for that first open water starting coming out. So
that's so cool.
He's fired up.
That's awesome. I love it.
All right. Until next time.
Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.